that are constantly interacting inside of us. And this, in general, is what we call thinking, because they're talking to each other and debating. And if you ever face a dilemma, you'll have one saying, one, go for it, and the other saying, don't. And most of the time, we just let that happen. We don't really pay much attention to it. So IFS is an attempt to start to pay attention, not only pay attention to it, but actively become an internal leader inside. So while it might sound creepy at first to think of yourself as a multiple personality, I hope to convince you that it's actually quite empowering. It's only disturbing because multiplicity has been pathologized in our culture. People with separate autonomous personalities are seen as sick or damaged, and the existence of these alters is viewed as the product of trauma, the fragmentation of their previously unitary mind. So the mind was monomind, and then it got blown apart. And the monomind paradigm itself causes problems. We tend to fight or ignore or try to discipline or hide or feel ashamed of the emotions and thoughts that keep us from doing what we want to do in our lives. In other words, we hate what gets in our way. Now, this would make sense if you thought of these inner obstacles as just irrational thoughts or extreme emotions that come from your unitary mind. So if you feared doing a presentation, you might try to use willpower to override the fear, and you might argue with it so to correct its irrational thoughts. If it persists in interfering, then you'd escalate your attempts to control it. You might criticize yourself for being a coward. You might try to drug it into oblivion or meditate to get away from it. And if none of those approaches work, you wind up adapting your life to the fear, avoiding situations where you have to speak in public and feeling like a failure and wondering what's wrong with you. You go to a therapist who gives you a diagnosis for your one mind that makes you feel defective. You have low self-esteem, at least in regards to that part of your life, and you feel defective. The sense of inadequacy can generalize because you're the one who can't control yourself. This generalized shame about yourself leads to attempts to hide any flaws and to present a perfect image to the world, or to withdraw from relationships for fear that people will see behind your mask and will judge you for it. And you identify with your weaknesses, assuming that who you really are is the defective one, and that the people you show this other person to, you're pulling a charade over on them. And if they saw the real you, they'd be repulsed. The monomind perspective, combined with scientific and religious theories about how primitive human impulses are, how venal is our basic nature, creates context for polarizations at all levels, including the internal world, but also between people and countries and so on. We often find that the harder we try to get rid of or ignore emotions and thoughts, the stronger they become. So this monomind paradigm can easily lead us to fear or hate ourselves because we have one mind and it doesn't work. We often find that the harder we try to get rid of or ignore these irrational emotions or beliefs or thoughts, the stronger they get. We get tied up in inner knots and in inner conflicts as we try so desperately to control ourselves. And we generate brutal inner critics who attack us for our failings. Since most psychotherapies and spiritual practices subscribe to this monomind view, their solution often reinforces this approach that I've been describing, whether by suggesting that you correct irrational beliefs or that you meditate them away, they're still seen as emanations from your one mind that are obstacles. Many approaches to meditation, for example, view thoughts as pesky annoyances. The ego is the enemy, or at least is an annoyance.